Lord. Amen. I'll do it. There you go. Yeah. No. If you'd like to come, if you're not already enrolled, I know we have like 7 or 8 students already enrolled. Just come scan this, fill out your information. That way we can send you reminders about it. Praise the Lord. Well, I thank you for being here. I was thinking about this, and Pastor and I are nothing if people don't show up to be served and be ministered to. And so you guys coming out, you all coming out today on a rainy Sunday, amen, making it anyway through the weather, amen, it's significant. Praise the Lord. It's good. And we are appreciative of it. And I can tell you this, I felt the power of the Lord already moving in this place from the first prayer, from the first amen. God has already been doing a work. Amen. That prayer service right there, there's a lot of needs. Amen. We need to remember the Hill and Brisbane family that had that loss of a 16-year-old. Man, that hit me pretty hard this morning. Because I remember that young man coming and being in Sunday school when he was much younger. And just a tragic loss. Amen. But it just goes to show you that you're not promised tomorrow. He's 16-year-old, whole life ahead of him. And then the life just to be cut short, to be cut off. And it sits on you. Amen. But I did come into the house of the Lord this morning with joy. We should always come into the presence of the Lord with joy. Amen. So even through that loss, we can still smile and say, God is good. Somebody say it with me. God is good. Amen. All the time. And all the time. You know the rest of it. It's a litmus test if you know the rest. Amen. Jeremiah 31:31. We need to go to the word of the Lord today. I don't want to be long here. So we're going to just preach the word as God has given it to me. Amen. It says this, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Amen. For just a little while here, I want to preach to you Pentecost, God's answer to Sinai. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I'm asking you, God, to anoint my lips, Lord Jesus. Anoint our ears, Lord God. Speak to us today, Lord Jesus. Lord, your word is already powerful and sharp, Lord God, and alive, Lord Jesus. Lord, bring it alive to us again today, Lord Jesus, in our hearts, Lord God. Lord, show us this new covenant, Lord God. Show us once again and remind us, Lord Jesus, of how great you are, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, praise the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Can we clap our hands together? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. And you, if you've read the book of Jeremiah, you know exactly why. This man of God, this prophet of God, gave some of the worst news, some of the worst prophecies, and people did not want to hear it. He foretold in this great, powerful kingdom of Israel, he foretold of the fall of Jerusalem. He foretold that the supreme power of that world during that time, Babylon, was going to come and take them into captivity. Israel, who had never lost a battle. Israel, who had been in so many times where God had delivered them time and time again. Here, Jeremiah is saying, this is the word of the Lord. Jerusalem is going to fall into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And he's going to take away your children to serve him. And he warned the kings. And what did he get for his obedience to the Lord? They threw him into a pit. You could say he wasn't very popular. Praise the Lord. But God kept him alive. Because God had something for Jeremiah to say that was much bigger than the judgment that he was sent to announce. And this is the worst season of sin and iniquity that Israel had ever seen. And so God gave a weeping prophet a promise that to them made no sense. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God and they shall be my people. Somebody would say, what are you talking about, Jeremiah? We have the law. It's in a box in the temple. What are you talking about, Jeremiah? God is already our God. Huh. That didn't make much sense to them. Wait. You're going to write it in our hearts? Wait. Aren't we already your people? But the word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah was not according to the covenant that I made their fathers. And God was referring back to the days that he delivered the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments. He was looking back to Mount Sinai and saying, that old covenant is not the end of the story. I'm making a new one. We've tried it that way and look where we are. This one, this new covenant, is not going to be written on stone. I will write it on their hearts. And that's what we just read about in Jeremiah 31. You want to hold that in your mind, what God said, because that is what I want to preach to you about today. This is Pentecost Sunday. I want to preach to you how God fulfilled that covenant and brought that to pass on the day of Pentecost. If you've been here in the church for more than one service and you've already heard about it today, you already know about Acts 2:38. In fact, if you've been looking in this direction at all, it's literally hanging on a sign behind me. And most of you have been baptized in the name of Jesus, as the scriptures have said. Most of us have received the gift of the Holy Ghost. But here's the real danger. When something is familiar, when something becomes too common, when you hear about it week after week, and you think in your heart, I've already heard that before, and you get bored, and you think it loses its shine, it loses its luster, it becomes mundane. Watch out, because then that verse of scripture behind me will stop being wonderful to you. And as the saying goes, familiarity breeds contempt. In fact, there was a man that came to our church when we were on Bank Street, and he came and complained to me. He says, every time I come to church, I hear about Acts 2:38. Every time I come to church, I hear about being baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Every time I come to church, you guys are talking about repentance. And I said, well, you know, that's interesting, brother, because I noticed that you don't come to our prayer meetings. I noticed that you don't come to our midweek Bible study. And that's true of the folks that are even here today. You know who you are. You come on Sundays, but you don't come on Wednesdays. And that's okay. If you're busy and you have a legitimate excuse to not be here. But I want to challenge you. As the pastor of Apostolic Lighthouse, I want to challenge you. Don't get complacent. Don't get bored with the Word of God. Amen. That is the scripture that fulfills the gospel and applies it in your life. And it's not a one-time thing. It's a day after day after day thing. It's the truth. Praise the Lord. So I want to show you something today. I want to show you that what happened on the day of Pentecost may be something you've never seen before in Scripture. Because when you put the day of Pentecost next to what happened at Mount Sinai, you will see that Pentecost is amazing. Wow. All right. I got my work cut out for me. Pentecost is amazing. All right. I want to pray that God will set your heart on fire today. That He will set your heart on fire again about the day of Pentecost. And that when you read that chapter again, that you see it like you've never seen it before. Amen. Let's pray right now. Jesus, I ask you, God, to open their understanding, Lord God. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to show us things in your word, Lord God, that will bring to life, Lord, what you have done and accomplished on the day of Pentecost. What you have done time and time again, Lord God, right here at Apostolic Lighthouse, Lord. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to open their hearts, open their ears, God. Open their understanding, Lord Jesus. God, as you have shown me in your word, Lord God, show them today, Lord. Make it come alive to them today, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Oh, I worship you, Lord. I know you're going to do it, God. I know someone's going to receive this word today. Amen. In Jesus' name, praise God. Pentecost is not random. It's not random. It's not a one-time event. God was not improvising. This wasn't a new idea to God. Pentecost was God's deliberate, sovereign, centuries in the making answer to a problem that started the day Moses came down from the mountain with those tables of stone and carried them in his hands into a sinful, wicked camp, into a people that had turned their heart away from God. But before we get to the answer of Pentecost, we have to understand the problem and the condition of the hearts of those people. The problem starts at Sinai. Why did they so easily fall into sin? Why did they see God as so far away? Why did they not desire God's presence? Why, just a few days after their deliverance, did they worship an idol? Why, after hearing the Ten Commandments from the mouth of God, did they turn and break every single one of them? This is what God was addressing at Pentecost, and this is what Jeremiah was talking about. So here's the history. Here's the backstory. Here's where the heart of the problem began. It was the third month after Israel left Egypt. Now this is not months as in our months. It wasn't 90 days. We're talking about the Hebrew calendar. They had shorter months. I believe it was 14. I'll look it up later. I believe it was 14 months in the year. So it was shorter months. And God had parted the Red Sea, drowned the army of Pharaoh, brought water from a rock, and He had fed them with manna from heaven. He had already done the miraculous in their sight. Now He brings them to a mountain, Mount Sinai. And the first thing God does when He gets ready to come down and speak to Moses and the people is to have a boundary set up. And he tells Moses in Exodus chapter 19, verse 12, "And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up to the mount, nor touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount." The perimeter was set up, a perimeter of death around the presence of God. And he said it clearly, if you touch this mountain, I will break forth upon you and kill you. It's what it says. You touch the mountain, you die, whether it be man or beast. Don't let your cattle wander up to this mountain, or they will be shot through. And he continues on in Exodus 19, 16, jumping down. "And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. And the Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice." So they had fire and smoke. I hope you see this picture in your mind. The ground was shaken. Put up that slide there, Brother Andre. The ground shaken. A trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder. Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. God speaks. And God tells in the next part of this story, right there in the beginning of Exodus chapter 20, there the people are ascended to the mount, and they're waiting, and they hear the voice of God, and God begins to give them the whole of the Ten Commandments, as we call them today. God goes through, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt," you know all the Ten Commandments, "don't make an idol. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery." All of the Ten Commandments there. Amen. And then in Exodus chapter 20, after God speaks the Ten Commandments to the people in full, notice what happens in Exodus 20, verse 18. "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet. And the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it," how did they respond? "They were moved and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. And the people stood afar off. And Moses drew near into the thick darkness where God was." The image here is so terrifying, if you will. I know that if that type of thing happened to me, I would be just as afraid. And in fact, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that Moses said that he exceedingly shook and trembled. Even Moses, the man of God, was afraid. He was terrified. And so were all of the people. But what their response was showed where their heart was. They ran. They put distance between themselves and the mountain. They separated from God. Then they said something that would define Israel's relationship with God for the next 1500 years. In fact, God would have to come in the flesh to truly reconcile them to himself, to truly restore that relationship. The response, to me, I understand it. It makes sense to me. I would be just as terrified. But what it caused was it caused a separation from the presence of God. God had truly showed them his marvelous power. And they didn't want the heat. Speak thou not with us. Not God. You talk to us, Moses. We'll take the report. Just don't let God speak to us directly. Amen. How many have ever prayed to hear the voice of God? God, speak to me. You fall on your knees and you say, God, I just need to hear your voice, God. God, speak to my heart, Lord Jesus. God, speak to my mind, God. God, give me direction. It's a tragedy that what they said was, we do not want to hear. I hope you understand that today. We don't want to hear from God. We want to hear from the man of God. And right there at the foot of Sinai, God was on the mountain. And people at the bottom. And a man who was afraid was standing in between them. That's the covenant that God was speaking of when he spoke through Jeremiah. I'm not going to do it like that again. I'm not going to bring you back to that mountain. That is the covenant of Sinai. So Moses went up. He goes up. He goes into the darkness. People waited. They waited 40 days. And then Moses didn't come back. When he didn't come back on their schedule and the mediator was gone, Pastor, they lost their senses. There was no respect for God. There was no respect for the Ten Commandments. There was no respect for his word in their hearts, in their minds, and they showed it. Exodus 32 verse 1. There's a big jump in scripture here. We were going from 20 to 32, 31. No, chapter 32. That's all the if you read all of that, that's all the things God spoke to Moses. Gave him the tabernacle plan. He defined sacrifices. He gave him all this wonderful thing for atonement. But as he's coming down, there's a problem. It says, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. I could just hear God's breath being taken away. If it could. They go to Aaron, make us gods. And Aaron, and I should mention, who was there at the mountain with Moses and the rest of the people, who had watched the fire, who had heard the trumpet, who had heard the voice of God. What does he do? He caves. He takes their gold and he fashions them an idol, a calf. In verse 5, it says, and when Aaron saw it, He built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. Notice the language. He didn't say my people. He said to Moses, thy people. And they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And God wanted to completely destroy them. If you read this story, God said, Moses, I'm going to kill them all and I'm going to start over with you. He did. God wanted to wipe them out. But Moses interceded. Brother Andre, Moses besought God for mercy. Moses came down from the mountain. He sees the calf. He hears the noise. He sees the dancing. Amen. Joshua meets him. They have this quick conversation. You hear that noise? It sounds like the noise of war in the camp. Yeah, there was some spiritual war going on. Amen. In Exodus 32 verse 19, it says, and it came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables of stone out of his hand and brake them beneath the mount. Jeremiah said, they broke the covenant that I made with them. They had broken it physically. They had broken it spiritually. And Moses took those tables and he broke those physically. He threw them down and they broke. And verse 20 says, and he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. That was the consequence. You're going to eat what you have worshipped. I hope you enjoy what you love. And that was merciful because God was going to kill them. But God didn't tell Moses to do that. Moses reacted in anger. God didn't tell Moses to throw those tables of stone down. Moses reacted in anger. Then Aaron says something to Moses that it's just stunning. Moses goes to confront Aaron. Verse 22. And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me, and I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. I cast it into the fire, and here's this golden calf. That wasn't an apology, was it? Moses, you're not going to believe this. It made itself. He was not being honest. Verse 4, we read before, says that he made it with his own hands, with a graving tool. Tells you that he did it, and he tells you how he did it. And now he's standing there telling Moses that the calf made itself. Remember, this is the future high priest of Israel. The man who's going to stand in the gap before God and the people for their atonement. I want to just tell somebody that if you've messed up, God could still use you. If you've broken God's covenant, God still wants to make a new covenant with you. Amen. Amen. God's not done with sinners. God's not done with backsliders. He loves the backslider. Amen. You can still minister in the house of God even if you've messed up. But get right. Do it right. Walk right again. Amen. Walk in the ways of God again. Walk in the love of God. Amen. Well, we know if I was Moses, we could ask, where'd you get that graving tool, Aaron? It's like a kid, you know, breaks the window with a baseball. And you go out to say, I'm laughing because I was the kid. But with me, it wasn't a baseball. It was a boomerang. Where'd you get that bat from? you're kind of setting it up like, did you break the window? You want to ask them, did you break the window? But you want them to admit it themselves, right? Amen. Where'd you get that graving tool, Aaron? Or why would you bring a graving tool, an instrument of bondage of Egypt, with you? And if I was Moses, I really don't know what would have made me angrier. The idol, the lie from Aaron, or the claim that they made. I pointed it out before, and God repeated it back. These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. They gave credit to an insignificant piece of gold, an idol fashioned with man's hands. I know that that incensed the Lord. And it certainly didn't make him happy. And we know that Moses' punishment displayed the mercy of God. But that's part of the problem. That's what is produced when you have no genuine encounter or relationship with God for your own self. But when you're living on someone else's faith, on someone else's relationship with God, I want you to hear me, young people. You can't get to heaven on your mom's faith or your dad's faith. You can't get to heaven on anyone's faith but your own faith. And if you're going to make it to heaven, it's going to be because you have a relationship with God. Because you want to love and worship and serve the Lord. You want to walk in the new covenant with the Lord. You want the Spirit of God in your life. Amen. Let's pray for the young people right now. Lord Jesus, if you feel young, let's pray for the young people right now. Jesus, right now. God, we ask you to establish in their heart, Lord God. Speak to them, Lord Jesus. God, I ask you, Lord Jesus, to help them come alive, Lord God, in you. Be set on fire of the Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus. To be blessed by you, Lord God. Oh, Lord, to not make the mistake that the people did, Lord, or that Aaron did, Lord God. That they were living on someone else's prayer, Lord God. That they were living on someone else's faith, Lord. God, I want to have my own faith, Lord Jesus. I want to have my own prayer, Lord God. My own communion and relationship with you, God. Oh, Lord, right now we stand in the gap for our youth, Lord Jesus. We're asking you, Lord God, to put their hearts on fire, Lord Jesus. Lord, and bless them, Lord Jesus. Our children in Sunday school, Lord God, show them your glory, God. Show them your majesty, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Praise God. I know God's going to do that. Praise the Lord. When you're living on someone else's faith and that person is gone, you have nothing to stand on. So after dealing with Aaron, Moses stood at the gate and he made a demand in Exodus 32:26. And I know I'm doing a lot of reading today, but we're getting somewhere. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from the gate from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Someone say 3,000 men. About 3,000 men dead at the foot of Mount Sinai. The law, the commandment of God, brought death. And I want you to remember that number, 3,000. Don't forget it. So God gave Moses the law written on stone, the finger of God writing from a distance. That is the covenant that Sinai produced. Law on stone, death at the bottom, a mediator in between them. And Exodus 31:18 says, and he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. Those are the tables that he broke. And that was not the end of the story. That's just the beginning of a relationship problem between God and his people. And that's what needed an answer. That's what needed. That's what troubled them. Is that distance that they had put between them and God. That they thought that they had to go to another person to hear from God. That they thought that they needed a mediator. And I have great respect and love for the fivefold ministry. I am a defender of the ministry, in fact. Amen. I see attacks against ministry all the time. I have felt those personal attacks, amen, against ministry. Praise the Lord. And the men of God in my life, Brother Mefford, who was my pastor that baptized me, amen, Brother Stolzfus, who was a great teacher of God, Brother Greeley, amen, who has pastored me for over 20 years now, amen, Brother Fred Dibble, all these men of God that I let speak into my life, and I go to them weekly at least, and I talk with them, amen. Some Brother Mefford's gone on to be with the Lord, so I don't talk to him, amen. Somebody will get that. Praise the Lord. But I have great love and respect. It thrills me to hear when they preach. Pastor Greeley's getting ready to retire, and he's preaching better than he's ever preached before. Amen. I'm like, what's going on? It's like you're in your prime now. Praise the Lord. You could do it another 20 years. Praise God. He's like, nope. Amen. So don't get the wrong message here. We need ministry in our life. All right. We need ministry in our life. Amen? All right. If you don't think you need ministry in your life, let me remind you something. That God chose through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You need a preacher. I'm glad you're waking up, but you need a preacher. You need people to preach the word of the Lord to you. To challenge you when you're wrong, when you're going the wrong way. You need a man of God in your life. Amen. It doesn't have to be me. I'm not interviewing for the job. God called me to be a pastor. Amen. If you want me to be your pastor, great. I've got to earn your trust and your respect. Amen. I've got to earn the right to speak into your life. Amen. But you need a pastor. If it's not me, it needs to be somebody. Amen? Amen. So God is not dissuading us from having a relationship with mentors in our lives. Don't get that wrong. But he didn't want them to be the mediator of your relationship with God. You cannot get to heaven because of my faith. Are we getting this today? Are we grasping this? You can't get to heaven because of someone else's faith. You don't have to make me happy. You've got to make God happy. You don't have to earn my respect. You've got to earn God's respect. Amen? But you can't earn God's love. He already loves you. Amen. And you can't do anything about it. And I love you too. Praise the Lord. And you can't do anything about that either. Praise God. The person receiving the love doesn't have the choice. Amen? All right, I digress. Paul tells us exactly why God let this be recorded in the history of the Old Testament. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, says, "Now these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." You know, if Paul was writing to the Corinthians 2,000 years ago, that upon whom the ends of the world are come, how much more are we in the day that the ends of the world have come? You walk outside the church and it's like walking back into that camp in Sinai. Sin is everywhere around you. In fact, you don't even need to go anywhere to experience sin. It will come all the way right down into your hand on your phone if you let it. That's why Pastor Crowder rightly calls it a hell phone. Because this thing will send you to hell just about faster than anything if you let it. Are there any young people that can say amen to that? All right. And watch out for hellavision too. Yeah. I didn't say those phrases. Brother Crowder did. And I agree with him. Praise the Lord. Everything there at Sinai, the fire, the sound, the boundary stones, the 3,000, they're written for us. So that when we see what God did at Pentecost, we would understand what he was answering. He was answering the distance problem that caused people to live with that condition in their heart that caused them to go right back into sin. But there was a promise that was given by Jeremiah between two mountains, between Mount Sinai and Mount Zion, when God established the church there at Pentecost. There's about 1,500 years. 1,500 years of priests and veils and curtains and sacrifices. God on one side of the veil and man on the other side. Near, but not near enough. The law in their hands, but not in their hearts. 600 years before Pentecost, in the middle of the darkest season Israel had walked through since Egypt, God gives Jeremiah a promise that nobody fully understood yet. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers. And he's naming Sinai. He's saying, what I'm about to do is categorically different. Not law on stone. Not a mediator going up for you. My spirit is going to go in you. Jeremiah stood between the two mountains, Sinai behind him, and the day of the church was made at Pentecost, 600 years ahead of him. Paul describes the contrast between Sinai and Zion. The new mountain, the new Jerusalem of God in the book of Hebrews. Zion is an epithet of the church. That's why he says, walk about Zion in Psalms. Consider the bulwarks of Zion. Walk about the church. Marvel at what God has done. Marvel and look, say, look what the Lord has done. We're still saying that today. Look what God has done in the church, Apostolic Lighthouse, right here in Uncasville, Connecticut. Amen. Hebrews 12:18. Let me read this quickly. "For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of the trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. When God christened the church, He was not repeating Sinai. He was answering it. God did not improvise Pentecost. He announced it by prophecy hundreds of years before it happened. And that is the sovereign hand of God. And when the answer came, it came in a very specific day. On God's own timeline, it was the Feast of Weeks, 50 days after the Passover. And this is the same feast that commemorated the giving of the law at Sinai 50 days after the deliverance from Egypt. The same calendar date where 3,000 had fallen in judgment. God chose Sinai's own anniversary to answer Sinai. It's not a coincidence. God never lost control, no matter what they went through. Remember that it took them about 3 of their months, which are about 3 weeks apiece, to get from Egypt to Sinai. That was about 45 to 50 days, or 7 weeks. That word Feast of Weeks, it's 7 weeks. I was trying to think of the Shavuot, is the Jewish holiday. 7 times 7 is 49. And when the 50th day had fully come, God spoke to the people and gave them commandments. That's what happened in Exodus chapter 20. On the 50th day, God spoke to them. And in this is what happened and how God answered Sinai. Amen. In Acts chapter 2, 120 people were praying in the upper room. And Acts chapter 2 verse 1 says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and one place. Now watch what happens. Watch what God does. Because He's answering Sinai point by point. And when you see this, you're never going to read the book of Acts again the same way. The first answer was the sound at Sinai, the voice of a trumpet exceeding loud, growing louder and louder. The whole camp trembling. They ran from it. They couldn't hear it. They couldn't bear it. Now look what was the first thing that happened in the upper room. Before the fire. Before the tongues. In Acts chapter 2 verse 2 it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. A sound from heaven. Just like at Sinai. But at this Sinai, it drove them away. It drove them away from the presence of God. But at Pentecost, it filled the house where they were sitting. Nobody ran. Nobody begged for a mediator. Because the sound didn't stop at the mountain this time. It came inside of them. At Sinai, the next answer, the fire. At Sinai, God descended in fire on the mount. But the people were at the bottom and God was untouchable. But in Acts chapter 2 verse 3, it says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat on each of them. It was the same fire. Listen, it's the same fire. But it was in a new place. What consumed the mountain before came to rest on the people. God didn't change the fire. He is the fire. Hebrews 12:29 says, for our God is a consuming fire. But instead of consuming them, it came in them. It filled them with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. The fire that caused them to fear before gave them boldness when they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. The third answer was the voice. Now here's where it gets deep, right? At Sinai, God spoke. And the people said, don't let God speak to us. Speak thou with us. One voice, one man carrying the word of God down from the mountain to the people. But at Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. God stopped speaking at them and He started speaking through them. That was the reversal. At Sinai, the people said, Moses, you talk to us. But at Pentecost, the Spirit came inside 120 people and the voice of God came out of them. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And look what happened when the voice came out of them. In Acts chapter 2 verse 5, it says, and there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together. They didn't run from God's voice. They came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Every nation, every tongue, every tribe that was represented at that time in the known world. This reversed the Tower of Babel. In Babel, God scattered the languages and divided the nations. But at Pentecost, God poured out His Spirit and every nation heard it in their own tongue. At Sinai, one voice went down and the people were afraid. So God had to speak with them through one man. But at Pentecost, God's voice filled their mouths. The 120 with joy, the joy of the Holy Ghost. And every nation heard God speak in their own language. Hallelujah. It was the greatest evangelism event the world had ever seen. Amen. And God is still doing it right here today at Apostolic Lighthouse. Just a week ago, 11 people were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in tongues. God's still doing it. Now remember the number 3,000 that I told you to hang on to. 3,000 men fell in judgment at the foot of Sinai. The law brought death. Moses came down, drew the line in the sand and said, who's on the Lord's side? And 3,000 were killed that day. Now on the day of Pentecost, the same feast, the same calendar date, Moses stands up and preaches Jesus, but Peter stands up and preaches. Moses stood in the gate and didn't let him leave. Peter didn't have to stop them from leaving. They were coming to him. Amen. But Peter stood up with the 11 and he preached Christ and him crucified. Amen. He preached his death. He preached his burial. He preached the resurrection. He preached the name of Jesus. And the crowd, they weren't indifferent. They weren't cut with a metal sword, but they were cut with the sword of the Spirit. And conviction came. In Acts chapter 2 verse 37 it says, and when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. You see God putting a spiritual sword and just sticking them through the heart. And said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You jump down a couple verses and it says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. 3,000. The same number, the same feast, the same God. At Sinai, 3,000 fell under judgment, the judgment of the law. But at Pentecost, 3,000 were born again by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. By the Holy Ghost. Amen. They were baptized in water. They were baptized in the Spirit. Where Moses drew a line and death fell, Peter stood up with the name of Jesus Christ, and 3,000 were saved. That's not a coincidence. That's a sovereign God who planned the answer before there was ever a problem. Amazing. I told you Pentecost was amazing. I told you. It's amazing. Can you say it with me? It's amazing.
It's amazing.
Amen. The last answer here. The new covenants where we started. At Sinai, the finger of God wrote on tables of stone. But he was external. He was distant. And those tables were breakable. Moses threw them down in grief and anger, and they shattered at the foot of the mountain. But listen, the new covenant cannot be broken, because you cannot shatter what God writes on a human heart. It can't be broken. When you become a son of God, you're always a son of God. When you become a daughter of the Most High, you're always a daughter of the Most High God. I didn't say that you don't have it figured out. I don't have it all figured out yet. Amen. I didn't say you weren't going to struggle, but think about the prodigal son. Did he get a robe because he came home? Somebody said it. No. Did he get the fatted calf killed because he showed up one day? No. He got the fatted calf and the robe and the ring because he was a son. He was a son of the master. Amen. You don't have to have it all figured out. You just keep taking steps to God. You take one step at a time. You pray one prayer at a time. And God will lead you to where he wants you to be. God will help you to do what he has already planned for your life. And this is what Jeremiah was pointing to, and I'm coming to a close. Somebody say, praise the Lord. This is what Jeremiah is pointing to. Not according to the covenant that I made at Sinai. I've said that now 3 times. I hope you get it. But he said, I will put my laws in their inward parts. This is the answer to the whole problem. God doesn't want us to be on the mountain with a boundary. He wants us to be in him, and he wants to be in us. The law at Sinai told you what God required. But listen, the Spirit gives you the power and the desire to do what God has called you to do. The law said, thou shalt not. The Spirit says, I will change your heart. I will transform you. I will give you the desires of my heart. I will change what you want. That's the new covenant. Not a law on stone, but life in the Spirit. Sister Dyke, if you would come. And Pentecost is where that covenant opened up. It was for every person. Someone say everyone. Every one of you. It's in Acts 2:38. Everyone. It opened up for every person. Not an exclusive people. Amen. Not a people that were called by a certain name or had the right family or had the right lineage. No. But it's for every person that will receive it. Peter didn't say this for a select group for one day And I'm saying that for a reason, because there are religious people who will tell you that Pentecost was just for them. There are pastors that will preach that Pentecost was just for the Jews. That's not what Peter said. No. Listen to what he did say. And I saved this one because it's pastor's favorite verse. Acts 2:39. It says this, for the promise is unto you. Point at somebody next to you, say, it's to you.
It's to
you. And to your children.
Yes.
Somebody hug their children if they got them. It's for my children. And to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. All that are afar off. It's not landlocked or geography. That's anybody who feels like God is far away. Anybody who's been watching other people go up the mountain. Anybody who's been waiting in line for the report to come down through a mediator, through some significant person, through some named evangelist. I've got to hear this person preach or that person preach. No, to hear the voice of God, you've just got to call on Him. Amen. The promise is to you. It's not just for the person sitting next to you. It's not just for Bishop Greeley or Pastor Dyke. It's to you. Somebody point and say, it's for me. And that answer's still going out. The day of Pentecost was not the last day God answered Sinai. It was the first. Peter made sure that nobody missed that. In Acts 2:16, he says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall dream dreams, shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out of those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Stand together with me today. All flesh. Amen. All flesh, not select ministers, not the spiritually elite, all flesh, sons and daughters, old men and young men, servants and handmaidens. God wasn't building a new mountain with new boundary stones. He was tearing down the boundaries. Sinai said, stay back. But Pentecost says, come in. Sinai said, if you touch this, you'll die. Amen. But Pentecost says, I'm putting new life in you. And that's why Jeremiah wept. Because he knew God's heart towards the people. Not just because the judgment he had to announce. But because he could see something coming. Something better. Amen. A day when God wouldn't need a mountain. When he wouldn't need a veil or a mediator. But that he would just come to whosoever will. And that day came. And today is a commemoration and celebration of that day. But it can happen on any given day of the calendar year. Sure. Daily such as should be saved. That answer is still going out. I need to ask you this morning. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Not as your pastor received it. Not as your mother received it. Not as your friend received it. Have you received the Holy Ghost for yourself? Amen. Has the fire come to rest upon you? Have you been smitten by the Word of God? Has the voice of God spoken through you? Has God written His law upon your heart and in your inward parts? Because that's what this day is really about. It's not a ceremony. It's not a tradition. It's not a doctrine that we celebrate once a year and then put it up on a shelf somewhere. Pentecost is the answer for every person who has felt like God was so far away that they could never touch Him. Amen. God's declaration that the distance is done. Amen. It's over. Amen. He's not content to be worshiped from the bottom of a mountain. He wants to be in you, writing on your heart, filling your lungs, speaking through your lips. The boundary stones have been removed. Amen. So you can come to this altar and you can touch God for yourself. I wonder if we would just gather for just a few moments at this altar and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, that you answered Sinai in such a powerful way. You gave the answer, Lord Jesus, to what must we do? You said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. God wants to fill someone right now with the gift of the Holy Ghost who has never received it before. And I hope it makes sense completely and it's clear to you today that God wants to do it again and again and again. Can we pray right now? Lift up your hands all across this place. Close your eyes. Lift up your voice today. Say, God, come down, Lord Jesus. Come down today. I'm ready to receive you, Lord Jesus. I'm ready to receive the Spirit, Lord God, like never before. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, answer by fire, oh God. You're the God that answers by fire, Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, and we have faith and trust completely in you, Lord God. We have faith and trust completely in what you want to do, Lord Jesus. Call upon him. Lift up your voice to him right now in Jesus' name. Oh Lord. Come on, somebody, speak in tongues as the Spirit gives you the utterance right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, you are worthy, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, I've got the Holy Ghost. Oh, down in my soul. Oh, just like the Bible says. Oh, I've got the Holy Ghost down in my soul. Oh, yes. Just like the Bible says, oh, I've been to the water and I've been baptized. Oh, my soul got happy and I'm satisfied. Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, just like the Bible. Oh, just like the Bible. Yes. Just like the Bible said. Oh, I've got the Holy Ghost down in my soul. I've got the real day of Pentecost. Just like the Bible says. Oh, I've got the Holy Ghost. Yes. Down in my soul. Oh, just like the Bible says. Oh, I've been to the water and I've been baptized. Oh, my soul got happy and I'm satisfied. Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, just like the Bible, yes, just like the Bible. Just like the Bible says. Somebody thank the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to your name, oh God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on, God inhabits the praises of his people. Oh, God inhabits the praises of his people. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Says, oh, yes, I've been to the water and I've been baptized. My soul got happy and I'm satisfied. Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, just like the Bible. Oh, yes. Just like the Bible. Just like the Bible says. Oh, yes, I've got it. Oh, I've got it. Oh, thank God I got it. Yes, oh, I got it. Oh, there's just something about the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I can't explain it, but I've got it. Oh, yes, I've got it. Oh, I've got it. Yes, I've got it. Hallelujah. Got the joy of the Lord down in my soul. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, there's something about the power of the Holy Ghost. I can't explain it, but I've got it. Oh, yes, I've got it. Oh, I've got the Holy Ghost down in my soul. Just like the Bible said. Oh, I've got the Holy Ghost down in my soul. Oh, just like the Bible says. Oh, I've been to the water and I've been baptized. Oh, my soul got happy and I'm satisfied. Well, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, just like the Bible. Yes, just like the Bible. Just like the Bible says. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I love you, Lord. I praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God. So good, Lord Jesus. So good, Lord God. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. We need the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody needs the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. As Pastor mentioned, Elements classes starting next week. Somebody say 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. Amen. Be here, right there in the back room. If you don't have a participant's guide, come and get that if you're a student there. If you haven't signed up yet, there's a QR code for it. And if you want to see this Wednesday, I'll be teaching, but I'm going to take just about 10 minutes ahead of my teaching and go through a presentation about sort of the path through. Like some people say, like, well, what do I do next? What are the next steps for me? And, you know, ultimately, we want you to be able to be fruitful in the house of God and do what God has led you and called you to do, whether that be, you know, opening a door for somebody, singing, whatever, playing music, whatever it is. Maybe it's media, electronics, I don't know. God knows. God will lead you to it. But you say, well, how do I get from where I am now to that? And that's what that presentation on Wednesday night, I'm going to show that, those different steps to go through. Amen. It's not even that difficult. It's not that hard. It's not like you've got to earn your right to do something around here. Amen. There's plenty to do. Plenty to go around. Amen. And God is good. Amen. And I'm so thankful for all the help. And I said it before, if you weren't here, who would I preach to? Who would we minister to? Who would we pray for? Amen. So thank you so much for coming today. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Amen. Shake hands with somebody. Amen. Invite them back.